Hello and welcome to this Business Solutions Podcast. I'm Jim Roddy, the president of Jameson Publishing and Business Solutions Magazine. Thanks for joining us. As always, we're here to provide actionable information on how VARs can sell more products, penetrate thriving vertical markets, and improve their business operations. Our guest today to give us an inside perspective on the channel is Alan Weinberger. He's the founder, chairman, and CEO of the ASCII Group. Alan, thanks for your time today.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, great to talk in. What's bringing us together today and why we wanted to share Alan's story with you, VARs, managed services providers, and software developers in the channel, is that ASCII is celebrating its 30th anniversary serving the channel. So, Alan, first, congratulations on 30 years. Can you share with us your top-of-mind thoughts on the changes that you've seen in our channel over that time span?
Thank you, Jim, and thank you, Business Solutions Magazine. Well, 30 years is a long time. Actually, it's the anniversary of the first Mac is also 30 years. So when we started, the beginning of the PC revolution, it was PCs and it was products. And some of you all can remember those days. It was a simple time, and people thought they were probably buying a typewriter. Well, now the second revolution has taken place in the last 10 or 15 years, the Internet revolution. And because of that, everything is changed. The lines are blurred, and all devices, as we know, are connected, and they're all digital. So the VARs, the solution providers, MSPs do everything now, not just wear one hat. But because of this, the core of the industry has changed from a product industry to mostly a service industry. Before, it was a couple big vendors, and now, really, as I said, the core is service, and service, most local services are provided by the local VARs, MSPs, and solution providers.
Yeah, that's certainly different from folks who used to show off the just the features and functions, now providing the services of people keeping up and running. And we've seen that too, Alan. BSM's a couple years behind ASCII. You were founded in 84. We were founded in 86. And you just touched on some of the trends that we've seen over that time. I wanted to get your feedback on those. One is the rise of the total solution provider. The other is a transition to services and the recurring revenue as a service model. So can we talk total solutions first? So have you seen that successful solution providers are the ones who don't just sell part of the solution? They're the sole trusted advisor of their customers.
Well, absolutely. Firstly, congratulations, Business Solutions Magazine, on your longevity and success as well. As you know, the key of any successful business is being around.
Yeah.
And we hope you'll be around for the next 30 years, and we will too.
Yeah, same to you.
But I must say, as we'll get into this discussion, a lot of these principles are universal. Why some of our VARs have been with us for 15, 20, 25 years. They change over time. And initially, as I said before, most of the solution providers were selling simple hardware, maybe box software. Now, of course, with everything becoming digital, the solution providers have to be a trusted advisor. They come in, they meet with the owner, the CFO, the whole executive team maybe, and do more, of course, than just selling IT. They sell a solution. Buying and selling is still very much a part of the industry, even with the cloud. Of course, all the supervisors have to stay up with the latest education, which is what Business Solution helps them do. But what ASCII's done around the country in our 8 events, we do a lot of educational training, too, because times are changing rapidly. So in the beginning, it was one thing, but now these solution providers that are part of ASCII, really part of the industry, are looked at in a much more multifaceted way. So I agree with you. They're looked at as core to the integration of IT to give any customer they're working with a competitive advantage in the marketplace.
Yeah, and Alan, you've tied our organizations together in terms of our tenure and our mission, and it is so true. In order to stay that total solution provider, you've got to stay educated. You can't just make the decision and say, good, now I know exactly what to do, and do the same thing 2 years, 5 years, 10 years from now, you have to keep adapting. And I guess that could segue in my next question about the services and recurring revenue that you touched on. And, you know, making that transition isn't easy, and it really seems like a stronger business model for the solution providers who can pull it off. And I want to get your take on the as-a-service recurring revenue business model for the entire channel. What impact have you seen on the channel so far, and what do you think it's going to have going forward?
Well, actually, I have a good answer to this, and I'm somewhat educated in this answer. I'm not just talking off the top of my head. The ASCII Forum is the world's largest independent forum where VARs, hundreds of posts every day, take place in a confidential way. No one but the VARs on the forum knows what's going on, and everyone is trading information about what works and what doesn't work in the field. And I would say, using all that research, and I won't talk any specifics because we can't mention who's on it and what they say, but the consensus is only cloud is not the answer. Well, it might not be the answer from a technical point of view, but it's also not the answer from a business point of view. Hmm. In that, if you say, for example, don't see your customer face-to-face and spend a year just doing everything remotely, the customer forgets who they're dealing with, and some better face can come along, some friend can come along, and, you know, out of sight, out of mind. So I think the consensus is you should have some face-to-face local activity with your customers. A good example, I think, is the medical field. As much as the healthcare and telehealthcare becomes more IT-based, and obviously you can use an iPhone even to check your heartbeat, you think you don't need a doctor anymore.
Right.
But if you have anything serious that takes place, you sort of want to know who your doctor is, meet him, and not just do it. Even maybe in 5 to 10 years, you can have operations done mechanically without even a doctor. I don't think that's going to be working for most people, because when there's something core that needs to be done, you want to know who you're dealing with. So there has to be some still face-to-face. And the other thing I'd say with the service, you know, software as a service or any service model, is things are becoming more and more specialized. And, you know, the VARs, the integrators, the ASCII members are specializing in certain areas, medical and, you know, all the usual specializations, the vertical specializations. So that's going to affect also the software as a service or the as a service revenue models, because some of it just can't be done all off-site. And that's an expertise that has to be developed. So the answer is it's not all or nothing. It's,
right.
For business and technical reasons, everything can't be remotely done.
True. I guess just to echo your point, Business Solutions and ASCII have worked together to put together a site which we'll have linked to on this podcast page. And so we talk with ASCII members and they share their secrets. And that has been one of the key things, is it doesn't have to be all or nothing. You have to do what's in the best interest of customers. And I guess I can tie that into my next question for you, Alan. We just talked about a lot of the change that's happened over the past 30 years. In addition to that face-to-face, what tried and true business principles have you seen are still the same in the channel despite all the changes with technology and business models?
Well, this is actually a terrific question, because I actually have some kids, children,
mm-hmm.
and as they get older, well, as they get older or younger, it doesn't matter. They always think times have changed and rules change and the world's changed, and, you know, kids today grow up on the Internet from day one, so they think the world's changed. But there's a great quote by Einstein, Albert Einstein, and he said something to the effect, I can't give the exact quote, but, well, in physics, there's a concept of relativity, and he, as you know, discovered the equals mc squared formula, which says certain things are relative, things
yes.
space, time, and other things. He said, however, ethics and truth in the personal sphere are not relative, they're absolute. That was his concept. So, and that I think is a perennial concept. Honesty, ethics are absolute. Values are absolute. Truth is absolute. That's the core that I think most VARs live by day to day. And when they give their trusted advisor information role to a customer, they are honest and truthful and ethical. And they know if they're not, they're going to lose business.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that concept is never going to change. And they have an ethical obligation to do what's best for their customers. And I think we try and do that at ASCII, and I think all good businesses try and do that in every way possible. Obviously, it starts from the top down, but there is no relativity to ethical behavior and honesty. And I think that's the perennial thing that I think we've learned over 30 years.
I agree, and maybe you've seen this where folks, new vendors or a new reseller, blows into the channel over-promising, under-delivering, and just by the years of experience in the channel, you know, hey, this is a small, tight-knit community. You're not going to be able to get one over on people. They're going to remember. I don't know if you've seen that at all, where people come in and you just can say, yeah, they're not going to be around a few years from now because, like you said, they're violating that tried-and-true principle.
That's a great thing, and people have been in the industry a long while. I've seen when a lot of people got into the industry in the early 80s, mid-80s, you know, early 90s, they're not around anymore, because they lost those principles. The main reason people went out of business is for those reasons, not other reasons. Not competitive reasons, not as if somebody outcompeted them, but they try to make a quick buck or do things, and the word gets around because it is a small industry. So the VARs have been around for 15, 20, 30 years, probably have not violated this principle.
Exactly. Good advice there. A couple more questions for you. Looking back,
Yes. What
accomplishment are you most proud of? You've been on a journey for three decades now. What's been the most rewarding part of it?
Well, we started really as a buying group, a concept where we had a group of 40 dealers in 1984 that left a franchise chain that failed. And they said, well, we're small VARs, well, at that time they were computer dealers, and we, you know, are big forces out there. We have Sears Roebuck, we have all the major business land, and the big powerful forces that were, you know, more powerful than we were. And they were getting all the advertising and all the mind share, and they were getting all the customers. How could we sort of leverage our power as a group to do better? So we started with individual business owners, and a number of them are still in the group all these years later, to leverage the power of a group. And everybody was different. So the concept was to, you know, have a network, a larger network, network effects. The bigger the network, the more everybody values their membership in the network. So originally, everybody wanted to stay a small network because we had 40 nice dealers. Everybody knew each other. And they thought, let's keep it as our own little community, a fraternity, a sorority, and we don't want outsiders in. But then, of course, the concept is the bigger it got, the more everybody would share in the benefits of a larger group. That's where we opened it up to all of North America. So that's what we did. So I'd say I'm most proud of the fact that we've helped smaller business owners over the years do better, educate themselves, learn together, grow as a team. And I'll give you two examples of how it's made a difference. One fellow joined us 20 years ago. I won't mention his name, but he was a one-man shop, was in business for 5 years, and he said he couldn't go anyplace. He couldn't take a vacation. He felt he was an island. He didn't trust anybody for his business, and if he needed something done, he had to do it himself. He joined ASCII, and he found out he had, at that time, hundreds of people around the country that he could trust, and he could, in any second, could help out on a customer need. And because of that, he actually didn't feel like an island anymore. He could take a vacation. He expanded his business, and he felt that the power of the community helped him in a way he could never do himself. And this type of example has happened many, many times. So even though everybody's different and diverse, and some might even be in the same town or city, they trust each other. And we've never had a lawsuit by any member against anybody else.
Mm.
So I'm most proud of having been able to affect and possibly affect our members all around North America.
That's a good one. And Alan, before I joined Business Solutions for 5 years, I was a self-employed small business owner, and I know we have a lot of self-employed small business owners listening to this as well. And boy, I was shaking my head, like the feeling of you're on an island, and how certainly groups like the ASCII group do make you feel like you're part of something, and you can actually, you know, you don't have to make the same mistakes and repeat them. You can learn from other people what they did. So, yeah, that's very true what you're saying. My last question for you, going going forward, so again, we have VARs and MSPs listening to this podcast. What would you tell them? What advice would you give those folks, the channel executives listening to us right now, going forward?
Well, I think there are two or three major things. Some I've almost touched on, but I'll be explicit on this last area here. You got to, whoever you hire, a cliche, slow to hire and quick to fire, have people around you that you can trust, have top character, honesty, and almost like a band of brothers or sisters. You know, they're like family. And again, the main thing is character, trustworthiness, and honesty. And the next thing is, and I think Google made this very public, and it was a good concept, and a lot of things they say is nice to hear, is have a work-life balance. Google said that, I think they said publicly, that 20% of people's workday, they could be working on special projects that they don't have to report back to their superior. Well, not that you necessarily have 20% of your workday in an office, you know, surfing the net, but you should have a work-life balance where you can leave the office, you can be with the family, your friends, whoever you want to be with, but not working 80, 90 hours a week. That's not a good way, and you won't get the most out of your workday. So that type of ethic or direction a business owner should make sure his staff understands that there's more to life than just work. So I think the honesty, integrity, and the work-life balance. And the last thing, lesson I'd say, is you don't think you have to know everything. Most business owners think they are smarter than the next guy. Well, no one's smarter than everything than the next guy, maybe in what they know, but this industry is so diverse and so vertical too, that no one will know all the verticalities, and a lot of times customers will come wanting you to know that. So you've got to work with other people to help areas that you're not totally up to speed on. And I think those are the three areas that the lessons I've learned that I can share with the VARs and MSPs listening today.
Yeah, true. And tying all those together, you find partners, you know, that you can lean on who are honest, and also they make the work more enjoyable as well, and they teach you efficiency so you can have that work-life balance. That's certainly true, and that's withstood the test of time. So, unfortunately, that's all the time that we have for today. Hopefully, our discussion has given you some insight on the ASCII Group and their journey and some lessons that all channel executives can take away and apply to their businesses. Before we go, we want to say thanks again to Alan Weinberger for joining us. Alan, thanks so much, and congratulations again on 30 years.
Jim, thank you, and thanks Business Solution Magazine very much for this podcast.
And thanks to you so much for listening. Our goal at Business Solutions is to provide growth strategies for the IT channel. For more information, please visit our website at www.bsminfo.com. Goodbye, everybody. Thanks for listening.